Thanks to RX Bar for supporting FilmSack. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your order at rxbar.com/FilmSack and use the promo code FilmSack. That's rxbar.com/FilmSack and the promo code FilmSack.
I guess my sound is appropriate for the movie that we saw.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Think of it that way. There's the positive spin.
All right, people, listen up. This job Saturday night will be the largest heist we've ever attempted. If we succeed, the abundant riches will be beyond your wildest dreams. Silence! It's very important that there be no mistakes.
Oh, yeah. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 368, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian, the time I hung him upside down and shook a VHS tape out of his boobs done away.
Boobs. Oh, hi-ya. That's kung fu. Okay. From now on, errors will be treated with zero tolerance. As an example, I point to the sloppy execution of last week's sacking, where one unsightly error nearly set off the trolls. You know what I'm referring to, don't you, Scott?
No.
Yeah, I know it wasn't you, Scott. Don't worry. I know it was Wang. That's right. You're Wang. Nothing, huh? Yeah. No risk, no reward. Yeah. Wait! Isn't the Doctor a Time Lord? Well, that changes everything. Yet changes nothing.
Nice. I liked it. None of it made sense. Kind of like the movie. Also,
well, did you watch the movie with the dubbing or the subbing?
The dubbing. We all watched. Yeah. I hope we all watched the dubbing because it made it special.
Yeah, we all watched the dubbing. The dubbing is the best.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. But I want to hear about the subbing. You alluded to that earlier. So later,
I subbed and dubbed.
All right, don't forget to tell us again because I want to talk about why that's even a thing. With us also, Randy, did he ever tell you about the time he had a dead guy grab his crotch and not let go, Jordan?
Oh, yeah. Hello there, fellow podcasters. Okay, I'm gonna come clean with you guys. I'm not Randy. I'm his understudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the real Randy Deluxe is kind of slumped in a corner over here. Like, I guess he's drunk and sleeping.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you the truth. This is not the first time that I've podcasted with you guys. So. We're just go with it. Treat me like the real Randy.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
Okay.
You might know me from some of the better things that I've come up with over the years. Like, I'm the one who came up with the whole, now I gotta go sign off.
Yeah.
That was actually me.
Oh.
In fact, it was kind of hard to get the real Randy over there to use it. So anyway, now I gotta go. I got to go check out what's going on with my wife and kid. You might think they're killed if you were listening to the sounds but not reading the subtitles.
I'm going to say, you must have been subbing.
Because yeah, you're subbing.
You only subbing.
You only get that story if you're subbing.
Oh, man. Now I'm really curious.
I missed out on the subbing.
Yeah.
I think I should have done some subbing and dubbing. With us finally, Brian, they even had paper falling from the sky at the end like Die Hard Ibbit.
Lots of it. All right, gentlemen, we're getting ready to take over not Nakatomi Plaza, but let's go through my checklist and make sure we've got everything we need. Detonators, check. Mm. Carpet mines, check. Mm-hmm. A body bomb with a harness, check. A set of bomb disarming tools, check. A waiter uniform, check. Large bag of snakes, check. And finally, a Gila monster. A Gila monster, Who's got the Gila monster? Oh, good. Very good. Is that the jumping one? Ah, good. Okay, we're good. Let's go.
That was almost my first intro, too, because I was amazed at the doctor's preparedness.
Right. He had everything.
For any situation.
Yeah, he was
possibly
set.
Need. It's yeah. Like,
when he right, was in that doctor's bag.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just in case there's a face-off at the very end, I better have a bomb with a harness that apparently you can't just unclick and remove. Yeah. So, yeah.
Perfect. And just we'll showing up with a giant sack, all these sacks of snakes.
A sack of snakes for one, just in case we get stuck in the bathroom. This sack of snakes is really going to come in handy.
So dumb.
It was explained in the sub, not the dub.
Oh, that's, let's get right to this, guys. If you didn't look at the subtitling, you missed an entirely different script. And I mean, an entirely, it's a different movie.
Totally.
Really?
Like seriously, it is, I can't explain it. I would like Brian Dunaway's take on what those words came from. I don't understand.
It is just the most amazing thing. And I think it's going to lead right into our who voiced this movie, because I honestly think, I don't know the history of their production, but I don't know if this is the first dubbing of the movie, because I think this may be a secondary dubbing, because we have a lot of more modern anime and animation actors dubbing this movie. And I almost want to think, I like to think this is a passion project. Let's start right from the top. Jet Li, the character he plays in the sub version, almost
man, he broke up again. Hold on. All right, we're gonna try that again. So, all right, sorry. Sub, dub. Where were you headed with? Oh, you're saying that the Jet Li story is totally different if you're reading it, unless you're right. Other than if you're hearing it, right?
Right. If you're hearing it, you think that Jet Li doesn't give a crap about the his wife and the kid in the bus. If you watch the subs, it's his wife and his son.
That's
don't let me die.
That's his son.
Soldier. He calls him soldier.
Yeah,
guys, it's everything.
Everything.
It's, like, that is just one example. This entire movie is filled with subtitling that tells a completely different story.
It's entertaining as crap.
Well, bet. I feel like I should have read those now. Now I'm annoyed that I didn't know.
So my thinking was that a lot of the dubbing was chosen based on the shape of the mouth that was being laid over.
Oh.
That somebody was looking at how people's mouths were moving and fitting the dubbing words to as close as they could. They weren't that good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like some of the subtitles were 2 and 3 times as much as was being said, being depicted on the screen. And so it was a lot more detailed, right? Mm-hmm. But then they just invented details. And it was just, it was insane. Like, there were times where I wasn't paying attention to the movie. I was trying to figure out what in the world story is being told on the bottom of the screen.
So question on that. When you watch with the subtitles, does it put the original dialogue in, or does it leave the English dialogue?
See, that's the, I'm unsure. I'm not 100% sure what's going on. I mean, they have.
Well, you watched it though. I mean, were you hearing English talking?
Oh yeah. No, you could choose both. You can choose.
Okay. So you can have English subtitles and you won't get just an English transcription of the crap you're hearing in the dub. You'll get this other storyline.
Other story completely. And it was enjoyable.
I actually watch the stupid thing again now.
I know, that's how
you
it
do.
Feels.
You have to watch it. You might have to watch it 3 times because there's 3 entertaining ways of watching this.
So they're clearly disconnected. This one thing, like, there's never a time when someone says hi on the screen and you see the word hi. It'll be hello. The subtitles
Every
are
time.
Not based on the English dub at all.
Okay.
So they're clearly, the two of them have this other source, this ancestor source that they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, it's not just that. It's not just, okay, I'm, you know, like there was a script and the dubbing has a thing and the subbing has a thing. Because I'm telling you, they invent stuff. Like, they're working from different scripts in the first place.
That's really weird to me. I don't know if we've had a movie like that on here.
And here's the crazy thing. It doesn't change the movie one bit.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a thing in there where you're like, oh, wow, that if I'd only been reading and not listening, I would have hated this movie. No, the movie sucks. There's no saving it. All it does is confuse issues.
Okay. Well, we should tell people the movie. The movie is called Meltdown, by the way.
It's not called Meltdown. It's called High Risk.
Yeah,
what movie are you watching?
Right. In Hong Kong, they called it High Risk. And if you search for it, it comes up as High Risk. But here in the States, after this horrific 1995 dub, which I assume they added the rap at that point as well.
They did. Yeah. That's why I was telling you the third layer is if you play the Cantonese, which they have the audio for the original Cantonese, they have a totally different soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm sure that rap's not in there. I'm 100% sure.
Right. Well, I feel
so
like
when you see that bus, like, when the bus pops up in the very beginning, you're like, oh, what's this cool, jazzy, weird, new age music? And then in the other one, it's not like that at all. It's more like regular theatrical music.
Yeah, that's pretty funny to me. So it's Meltdown here, High Risk there. I don't know why that was a problem and they couldn't just call it High Risk, but maybe that sounds dumb here. I don't know. But yeah.
Well, Meltdown kind of sounds dumb too because.
Right.
Meltdown really. Nobody actually has a meltdown.
No. Nothing gets melted down, even physically.
Nothing gets melted down.
No.
Right.
It's like meltdown meaning like what? The melting, you know, there's a meltdown of authority or there. I don't know. Right. I don't know what they mean. There's no meaning to this.
The fire burns so brightly. Yeah. There's melt. I think it was because this movie was definitely supposed to challenge. Okay, let's go to the history of the movie real quick. The history of the movie is that the director had worked with Jackie Chan in the past, and he wanted to, and him and Jackie Chan got into arguments over some things, a previous movie, and he wanted to slam Jackie Chan by saying that this actor that is portrayed in the movie is like Jackie Chan, and that Jackie Chan does not really do all of his own stunts, which makes you question... Is that the reason why Jackie Chan has all those spoof, you know, those silly reels at the end of his movies? Is that his answer?
Show the actual thing that he's doing. Man,
right.
Coming into this, I had no idea that it was going to be a slam on Jackie Chan. And so it's pretty heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Very heavy-handed.
You know, pretty quickly into the movie. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, he's running around in a suit. He's got the hair like Jackie Chan. And I don't think it's just like a, you know, every... Asian martial artist actor looks the same. It's like, no, that's definitely supposed to be Jackie Chan.
With some Bruce Lee thrown in.
Sure.
There is some Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Heck
yeah. Jackie Chan doesn't stand in the middle of a circle of people and fight them with expertise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's the tracksuit. Yeah.
The tracksuit
looked totally like that. And also there was a lot of, when he's done doing something.
Which for me was more Bruce Lee than Jackie.
Yeah, Chan. I agree. Yeah. It was clearly an amalgam, but they were absolutely going after Jackie Chan. And I could tell that before I even touched the trivia.
I think Jing Wong, the director, I think he just hates martial arts films, to be honest with you, because there was way more gunplay than martial arts up until the end, which is actually when I started enjoying the movie.
I thought the fights when they happened, the actual martial arts stuff was pretty great.
Crap until the end, if you ask me.
The fight scene with the swords and the light pole, that was the turning point.
That was great.
Yeah. The movie basically, it's a 2-hour long movie that it feels like at least that spends the whole first hour keeping you from knowing that Jet Li is any good at anything. Like he's really not he's not revealed as a badass much.
No, he's barely in it. He's barely in it in the first hour. I think. I mean, there's the whole thing with the bus. And then it's like, okay, I'm a bodyguard. And then there's a chunk where he is gone. There's just no Jet Li for 20 minutes. It's really weird.
I enjoy Jackie Chang, or however you say his name.
Frankie Long.
Yeah, I enjoyed, he stole the show for me.
Really?
I
mean, he annoyed the shit out of me.
I found it to be very irritating, like very, very anime. Like he falls into an empty swimming pool and then like, hangs there and then like gives the thumbs up. It was so like if they could have done a Roger Rabbit and had him be a cartoon character, they would have.
This is literally labeled as a action comedy. So I'm okay with it being comedy.
Is this the definition? And again, I hope this isn't considered a racist term, but is this the definition of a chop sake film?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I don't know what a chop sake movie is. So B, maybe.
I don't know what that is either. I've heard of it, but I never really knew what it was. Chop sake. Here's your definition. Colloquial term for martial arts movies and kung fu films made primarily in Hong Kong and Taiwan between the 60s and the 80s. The term was coined by an American motion picture trade magazine, Variety. So it probably is racist.
Okay, yeah, but I feel like it's really important to distinguish between some definition you find on Wikipedia and how people actually use the term. Like, I was feeling this a ton this week. For whatever reason, Scott and Justin decided to talk about millennials, and they looked up a definition of what a millennial is and had to just go with it. And, like, the whole time I'm like, but that's not how people use the term. Like, the term is used popularly to do this other thing than the definition. Like, so, what is a chop sake movie, right? It's a guy who stands around and beats up people, and then there's an adventure, and then he beats up more people, right? Mm-hmm. And there's, like, not much plot. It's just a series of action devices.
Yeah, I mean, basically they figured out, oh, we want to have a sequence where we involve these weapons or these things that are not normally weapons, but we're going to turn them into weapons. We just need to thinly create a bit of plot to connect it so that we can get from there to here to explain why he's going to be in the kitchen battling somebody with a spatula, for example.
Basically, right. Very, very loose story connection plot stuff in those movies.
P.S. There was a Cartoon Network show called Chop Sake Chooks, which looks offensive as hell.
Yeah. I have a feeling that the word chooks might be the more racist part of that title.
You might be. But so here's the thing with this, though. It's not, I don't think it is that definition. I think this is a Die Hard ripoff. I think they love Die Hard. I think this is 1995 and they are into it and they're super, super wanting to do it. Yes, yeah, Speed's another good example where they mashed that in. And then they made the movie they wanted to make, which was Speed Hard. Yeah.
Which would it should have been Die Hard 2, right?
Right.
Die Hard Definitely. No Bus.
Yeah. You're trading awfully close to my Twitter post at the end. Here's another
question that I don't know the answer to. Is this a low budget film?
Yes.
Not in comparison in its market, I would not say. I would think it would be a...
I don't know, man. I don't think anybody in Hong Kong... Back then, Hong Kong movies were not high money. Yeah.
For America, it would be a low-budget film. For Hong Kong, it's probably like a mid to high-budget film.
Yeah, probably.
For a comedy in Hong Kong.
Probably. I mean, it's all practical effects. It's all, you know, some simple pyrotechnics. It's all like, can we get this car in an elevator? Who's going to let us do that? I don't know. We'll find a hotel that'll do it.
Oh my God.
How did the car get out of the elevator?
How'd the car get out of the elevator on another floor and then get to the right floor?
I forgot about that. I totally forgot I switched elevators at some point. Yeah.
And I'm sorry to keep doing this, but like when I say low budget, there's
that's all explained in the
titles.
Yeah. But there's the definition of low budget, and then there's what people mean when they call something low budget, right?
Yeah.
And that's different.
Yeah. No, right. That's true. I mean, if we're talking about actual money spent, like who cares? It's all relative. But the look of it has two looks for me. One has the look of cheese and lame, which is low budget to me. But on the same time, it has the look of ingenuity and everyone's having a blast and there are no but no
for Jet Li, who never has a good time.
Yeah, and there's nobody on set making sure OSHA rules are being followed. It's just like, how can we make this blow up? It's kind of great.
The whole time Jet Li is saying, I'm never going to get a Christmas card from Dan again.
That guy's great though. You could see why he was such a freaking star in Hong Kong and then later here. Like he is just there's something about that dude. Even in this movie where I think he's given a little bit less to do, he's still like a thing to reckon with on screen. I think he's awesome. Yeah. Really like him. But
it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Oh, but so we probably don't recognize most of the actors for us as mainstream viewers.
You think?
However, you might have recognized a few of the voices. Darren Norris, or Duran Norris.
The voice of the doctor?
Is the doctor, and you may recognize him from many things, but I immediately recognized him from the dad from Fairly Odd Parents.
Okay, I'm not convinced that the voice we were hearing is the guy that you're talking about. I have this feeling that we got a different dub in this transfer. And the only reason I say that is because the guy voicing the doctor in the movie I just watched sounded like the replacement boss from the IT Crowd.
Oh, that's funny. I would have said it's Tim Curry. It's we almost couldn't afford Tim, or we couldn't afford Tim Curry, but we got the closest.
I really hope Scott captured that guy. Because
yeah,
I want you to listen when we get to it for the replacement boss from the IT Crowd. And I don't think that's Darren Norris.
According to the IMDb, it is. I also recognize it from those cartoons. He's also done some other stuff, Team America and Bolt and other animated things. It is also
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop. He's known for a lot of anime voices and stuff. Liam says he knows this guy, says he's super nice, for whatever that's worth.
Of course, Liam's gonna say that.
Yeah, like what else is he gonna say? This guy's a jackass.
That guy's a jerk.
He's okay. He's no Illidan Stormrage, but he's okay.
Right.
But
he never shows up prepared.
Right. But the thing he's affecting here is a riot. Like,
yes.
What the almost over the top dumb idea ever in a movie. It's crazy.
It's like you're driving from Tim Curry to Alan Rickman, but your car kind of stalled on the street you're leaving. Like it's.
Well, Randy's right about it's very much like that dude in IT Crowd, like that affectation of like.
I have to go listen to that guy.
Hello. We've had blah. Like there's this kind of like over the top nasally thing, and he's doing that.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like it's for me. That was the first thing I thought of was Tim Curry in like Rocky Horror Picture Show, not quite as leather wearing Dr. Frankenfurter, but just that kind of welcome to my castle.
Yep.
Like you know, very
I think you're doing a pretty dead on impression of him. Like that is what that guy sounds like.
You could redub it right now.
But I'm going to use the actual subtitles as my.
We should have done this as a live stack and done our own dubbing.
Yeah,
put that.
There you go. Actually, this would have been a pretty good live stack. I thought of that while we were watching it, but the similarities to Die Hard are unavoidable. Like it's just ridiculously inspired
by it. I would still love to see somebody take this and dub in the lines from Die Hard in the places where they fit. Like, you know, the cameraman that what's her face is with kind of doing the Hans Booby kind of thing.
He's so creepy with his with his spanky oiled down hair.
Slick back hair, his alfalfa hair.
Alfalfa hair. Sorry, alfalfa. You're right.
I like this idea. This isn't bad. I don't know who's got the time to do it, but
this would be absolutely hilarious because there's so many parallel scenes that I honestly was expecting at the end Jet Li to walk up with some wrapping tape or some packing tape on his back with a gun, but apparently it was a
sir you're on
the forethought. Yeah, the forethought to get a venom soaked knife.
Yeah.
You're onto something here, and I think Steve Odekirk is the man for the job.
All right,
you know that name?
Yeah, anybody? Steve Odekirk.
I don't know that.
He's the guy who made Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Yep.
Yeah. So good.
So he took this old nonsense chop sucky film and put himself into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then tried to make a.
That was the source of that. Really?
Try to make a story. Yeah. The original. I'm forgetting what the original film was.
It was called Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Is the new one? Is his version?
Right.
But he used it's called Tiger and Crane Fist is the original movie.
Okay.
And he bought the whole movie, bought the rights and everything, and then put himself into it and came up with a story that's
very entertaining.
By the way, that guy got started or one of the things he did that he was famous for was very early, like pre YouTube, sort of long time ago, weird viral thing was that Thumb Wars thing. Where it was like little faces.
That was
on,
him? Well, oh my
he
God.
Made,
isn't that crazy?
He made his money writing other movies. He wrote Ace Ventura 2. He wrote The Nutty Professor.
Patch Adams.
So he's a writer.
Did anybody really write The Nutty Professor?
Not well, if that's what you're asking. But
there was a script.
He did the screenplay for Cowboys and Aliens. He did all sorts of stuff. Evan Almighty, which is garbage. Yeah. Evan Almighty's terrible. The Jimmy Neutron TV shows and that. So the guy's been around.
That is such a good show.
But he did all those thumb movies. And then eventually those took off and he ended up doing a Godfather one and a Titanic one. And he was like, that guy, I used to think he was the bomb, but I really don't think he is all that funny now in retrospect. I think it's
Kung Pao Enter the Fist had a moment.
It was
15 years ago and it stopped being funny immediately and you don't want to try to watch it now.
It was so right for the moment. I went to the theater and saw it and I never go subtitled movies ever, never, but I did and it was good. No dub, just sub.
Yeah, no dub, only sub. That's the answer. Let's talk about some other stuff. Did you guys find the gross moment in this chaos for me?
Oh my gosh.
Very disgusting just one.
I was pretty grossed out that she was popping a squat while dude was popping his zits. I didn't in the bathroom.
The fact that she goes so far as to pull her underwear down.
Yeah,
that was a little much for me.
Yeah, that bothered me. I didn't understand it, actually. I wasn't sure what was happening. It's like, what is going on right now?
It's not like it's a common thing in American bathroom. Well, I don't think it's a common thing in any bathroom. I think that they just found that whatever building they filmed this in had a bathroom where it was painted to look like there were people in the stalls, but the stalls were in the forest.
And it was next door to a reptile habitat, apparently.
Apparently. You know what? Maybe they didn't just break into, like, not Nakatomi Plaza. Maybe they broke into Rainforest Cafe. And
they were on the Rainforest Cafe level.
I don't know about you, Scott, but I was kind of grossed out by that whole suck out the poison shot.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like that either. I don't. In fact, that's the thing I don't like in any movie where they suck snake poison out of somebody.
But you didn't. I mean, there was a lot of butt crack sniffing in this movie. You didn't like all that.
Randy touched on it. You got it. That was it.
Randy touched on the butt crack.
That's exactly right.
Digging his fingers into the butt crack.
For me, it was the one where he was drunk and he had. I can't remember what happened after the scene. This is early. And he fell down, and he's like an inch away from his cameraman or somebody's butt crack, and he's like rubbing it up and down, and going, "Oh, you smell so good!"
Yeah. Like, oh my god,
that was
oh
bad.
Oh my gosh, there was way too much butthole humor. This is the highest amount of butthole humor we have had in any film segment.
Yeah, you only get them. The only movies I've seen that have more butthole humor than Hong Kong action movies are typically Korean movies, and I don't know why. They think buttholes are hilarious over there. Yeah, and my brother and I can attest to this in like real life.
Think buttholes are hilarious.
When my brother came to America and was living here for a while, nothing was funnier to him than a butthole. Just the funniest thing. He would always...
Goatsy is a riot over there.
Oh, I'll bet they love Goatsy over there.
They've got sitcoms over there like Everybody Loves Butthole, How I Met Your Butthole, The Big Butthole Theory. It's like, it's a whole thing out there.
Oh, they love Buttfeld. That's a good one.
That's better than Seinhole.
Yeah, Seinhole.
Seinhole.
That's no good. Jerry Seinhole. This movie knows that, and this movie revels in it, and I hate that. I hate it. Cause to me, it's just the most base, like, ha ha ha, look, funny, butthole, get it? Ha ha ha. Like, no, it's not funny. It's just a butt. It's not that funny.
The other cultural thing that I couldn't get past, and I had to rewind it a couple of times to make sure I was seeing what I thought I was seeing, they taped that poor crow. They taped his feet.
I wrote
that
down.
Mirror.
Did you guys notice the bird taped to the perch?
No.
Yeah, you think it's supposed to be disturbing because it's supposed to be like flapping its wings, but it wasn't flapping because it was, it wanted to flap its wings.
Yeah.
It was taped. His feet were literally taped down with white tape.
Oh my God.
For the mirror.
Very first scene. You can go watch it in 30 seconds. In the very first scene, the school bus shows up, the terrorists are grabbing all the kids, and there's it's an inexplicable shot too. You don't need a scared bird in this this scene.
Right. You've already got scared kids running.
Oh,
you don't need
that's what it's doing. It's basically there to kind of say, "Oh, the bus pulls up, and the kids are scared, and even the birds."
The bird is scared. Look at its feet.
Yeah,
now
we know why. Yeah, they don't have any of those. I mean, they didn't have those rules in Hong Kong. Nobody was making anybody do like PETA crap and all that. It was just like Tape him down. How do we get him to freak out? Tape him down.
Every animal you saw in this film was tortured mercilessly.
Right? We ate all the animals in this film.
Yeah. I mean, it's
they're the soup in the last
scene. It's kind of true. It's an extension. It's the same reason Jackie Chan did get to do all his stunts. It's all these reasons. Like, in some ways, I like that. In some ways, it's this weird freeing thing. But in other ways, I'd really not like a bird not to be tortured, please. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be.
No, it was. This movie was quite disturbing for many, many reasons. But the bird gets tortured in the sub and the dub version. Doesn't matter which language you turn on.
It's the universal language. Always the same.
There's no plot line to explain why the bird is taped to the.
There was no sub that said bird gets away in next scene or nothing. It just
all birds suffer the same. Doesn't matter how you tell the story. It's the same.
Yeah.
We mentioned the snake thing earlier, and for a little bit of context for those who don't watch the movies, and by the way, I would highly recommend watching this one. It's too much fun to pass up.
So much fun. And it's an hour and 45 minutes, and apparently when you watch it, make sure you have the subtitles on. You'll get all three movies in one.
Yeah.
You can even play it at double speed because the movie was already at double speed anyway half the time.
Then it'd be at quadruple speed.
I did notice that. Like, anytime somebody's fighting with something that you know is too heavy for them to like wield quickly, they like slow it down. Well, they speed it up and have the person that they're fighting with who has like a nimble thing like a dagger or a sword or whatever go, swish.
It was a trick to make that stuff look really hyper fighty and stuff, which kind of works. I mean, has its moment, but you kind of can see through it pretty quickly, and that stuff got better later. But these were such early Hong Kong cinema, like 80s, 90s cinema in Hong Kong. So much fun, dude. Like, you could just tell they're having a blast. They're just like, give us the camera. We're going, wow. And they just go make some dumb movie and over the top and martial arts, this and that. Like, that's maybe one of my favorite outcrops of cinema anytime, anywhere, any era. So this was a no-brainer for me to see.
But I enjoy this as much as I enjoy a Jackie Chan movie, but more than I enjoy like just a straight, not funny martial arts movie. I find those are entertaining for me for about 10 minutes. And that's like, okay, well, all right, he's going to go avenge his father or whatever. Yeah. Right,
but this movie has a reporter and a cameraman.
Yeah. They're a hoot.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because, one of the things that I absolutely hate when they do in a film, and this is not just Hong Kong films, but any film where they analyze the video to find out an important plot point, like they did with discovering that it was the stuntman or the bodyguard that was Jet Li instead of Jackie Chan. But they're using the footage you just watched in the film.
Not the footage
you see from where the cameraman was. Like,
they literally look at three different shots of him falling, and they only had one camera.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And one of those shots was a directly under Jet Li landing on me kind of shot. So there's no way.
Yeah.
I hate that. Like, slow it down. Look, there's his face. Like, okay, come on now. You're looking at what we just looked at.
The same movie. I don't like that. They still do that, though. I mean,
sure.
You see it all the time. Even in TV shows, it's terrible.
Would you think, though, okay, so that scene with the snakes, just to go back to the snakes for a second?
Yeah.
I'll park my brain and say, sure, you brought a big bag of snakes. Fine.
Right.
You may have had a different use for them, and maybe the bathroom just turned out to be the perfect storm, and that's great. But you brought a lizard, too?
Right.
Why?
Wow. Why? It looked cuddly. I wanted to pet the lizard.
Well,
if you brought that stuff, what would make you decide that, there's the reporter. She's got the videotape. I've got a gun, but I'm going to go into another room, get a bag of snakes, bring the snakes in, and then leave her alone with the snakes to worry.
What? Yeah, it was the weirdest plan. Like, even
just
the sub
gun and say, give me the videotape. I've got a gun pointed at you.
Yeah.
Look at my cool sunglasses.
That would have been a better plot. Not as entertaining, but
definitely not as entertaining.
Oh yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I am not asking them to take the snakes out. Please leave them in, and also have your lizard because this is so dumb. It's great.
That lizard, he jumped like he was so aggressive.
It's an agile lizard. Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't a lizard. What is it?
It was a Gila monster.
Gila monster.
It's a lizard, Randy says. Hey, come on.
It is.
It basically is. It's an amphibian. So,
like that's not a roach, that's a water bug. Okay, but it's a roach.
I don't want the reptiles to cut. Yeah, you're right. There was a water bug in there too, a big old fat roach.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh really?
That didn't freak you out, Scott?
Yeah, I saw that. That didn't freak me out, but I saw it.
Oh, right when he's dubbing and.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that was not meant to be offensive. That was a reproduction of what he did.
That was an accurate reproduction. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a great joke. That joke always works for me. It's like. The secret to my podcasting is I get a cockroach on my hand and then I freak out for the entire episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yep. I love that joke.
Yeah,
right. Like that nobody else in the room notices.
Right.
There's a huge cockroach in the studio.
And they're all looking at the screen going, oh, you're nailing it. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's
I'm
always.
I'm not going to look at you. I'm only going to look at the screen.
That one always works. I'll tell you which one doesn't work.
He storms out and says, I'm going to America to make real movies.
Yeah. I'll tell you which one does never works, the joke, and that is I'm jumping into an empty pool. That's so dumb. That you know the pool's empty. You knew it before you ran up to the edge. You knew it because you could see it. Don't pretend like you jumped in and went, I'm in an empty pool. I
landed face down, arms straight out. I mean, they did everything in this movie, but have somebody run through a wall and leave a human-shaped wall hole.
I
was okay with the empty pool.
What was the movie we saw of a Chevy Chase where he left a wall hole in the shape of a person? What's that movie with the penis nose for Dan Aykroyd?
Nothing but trouble.
Was it the end? I think he left and left a hole that looked like Chevy Chase in the wall.
It's the one where he sniffs all the powder. They go off to this bed and breakfast and seems like old times. Did we watch that?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
I swear we saw this together and I remember being pissed that they even put a man-sized hole anywhere.
I don't remember. I've watched so many Warner Brothers cartoons that I can't.
Yeah.
Well, it works there because it's a cartoon and it totally works. And you kind of smile at that and you say, yeah, that's right. You leave a hole the shape of a duck. But when people do it, in a movie they want me to take seriously, even if it's a farcical movie, F off. I have no desire to see you make a man-shaped hole in the wall.
That said, the old game show that they had a few years ago, and I think it was just called Hole in the Wall, you were on a platform and this thing was coming towards you, and you had to figure out what shape you had to get into for it to pass harmlessly.
That was the most stress-inducing show I've ever seen in my life.
It was like Tetris.
All it does is knock you over. Yeah. It's not that big a deal.
It's not, but idea that they would send you through the three or four that were easy, and then they'd bring one that would like be impossible for a fat guy to contort through.
You know, but like, do you guys watch Ellen's Game of Games?
No.
Yes.
Dude. We're not at home during the day. What are you watching?
No, it's just prime time, buddy. Prime time,
yeah, it's her new show. She has some new thing. Yeah.
It's called Ellen's Game of Games, and what they've done is they've taken some pretty basic like onstage trivia and married it to, you know, Nickelodeon Splashtown or whatever. And it's kind of entertaining, but there's a point where you're just like, okay, you're just scaring people. Like, you're just scaring people for not actually accomplishing, and it's not making me laugh, you know?
Is it like Japanese?
It's making me laugh. Yeah. It's like, all right, ask him some dumb trivia questions and then yank him up into the rafters with a couple of
But is it like the Japanese game shows? It's like that where they
kind of, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Very there's physical like, comedy repercussions game show.
There's like one of her games, you're standing inside a huge foam mouth. And when you get questions wrong, you have to pull a tooth. And if you pull the wrong tooth, the mouth chomps down on you. And it's like, okay, but like I see the woman standing in the mouth is freaking terrified.
Right.
But it's not entertaining me.
The thing that drives me crazy about that show is that the contestants all seem like they were given 8 espressos before filming started. And that they're on like an electrified panel floor and they're, you know, wearing tinfoil socks or something because they're bouncing back and forth. And
Well, why are they so up and ready to roll? They just are.
I think that there's some producer in the back that says, all right, you're going to be our next contestant, but we're only going to do this if you're really, really excited. And you have to get so ridiculously excited that we.
Yeah, I buy that. Like the Alec Baldwin game show.
Energy level.
Oh, yeah, match game, sure.
The Alec Baldwin match game, all of the celebrities are drinking booze. And
Which is true of the 70s match game, by the way.
Sure. But it makes the contestants look like they're only on espresso. You know, like they're
everyone else is all leveled out and mellow.
Yeah.
I need to. I've not seen any of these incarnations of the hot new thing to have a game show with a current celebrity.
You could watch 10 minutes of either Game of Games or Match Game and really get the idea. I mean, I find Match Game actually kind of entertaining.
Mm-hmm. It's super repetitive, though. You're right.
It is, and the people they don't know how the new producers don't know how to write good blank questions because they write them to where there's only one answer, and you know the contestant is not going to come up with that answer.
Is Drew Carey still doing Drew Carey still doing the whatever it's called, the
Price
Bob
is
Barker
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he did something weird last year. I happened to catch it one day, and I'm like, "Why is he white-headed now?" And I didn't even want to know the story.
So this is
I asked. I was like,
"He's old."
He's old.
Yeah.
No, but now he's not. And so it's just weird. I don't know if it was like,
well, you're seeing a rerun, my friend, because Drew Carey is old and he's got gray hair now.
Yeah, he's old.
Well,
and you say that he's only 59 today. He, like, what happened was he stopped coloring his hair a couple years ago.
Yeah. And that's just basically it. And he looks good. He's thin and, you know, in shape and all that. But what's weird is we're now in an era where all these shows are hosted by comedians, and Alec Baldwin's like kind of always been borderline that way anyway. But these are all stand-up people for the most part, Ellen and him and Steve Harvey and all these people hosting.
They are stand-up people.
Yeah, they're stand-up people. But they all used to be stand-up comedians, and now they're hosting our game shows. And maybe that's the best thing ever. Maybe that's the way this should have always been. Funny guys should host it more.
I think so.
Yeah, and how you know who's the next Louis C.K., the next guy you need to run out of town, is when they're a famous stand-up comedian, but you can't imagine them hosting a game show.
Oh, wow. I thought it would be they would whip their wiener out in front of you and mess with
That's what I'm saying.
Ask if they could masturbate into your fern.
Like, seriously, go back in time, four, five months maybe, and ask yourself, could I see Louis C.K. hosting a game show? No, that's a horrible idea. Yeah, there's something horribly wrong here.
Yeah, I don't like
it. If there's a comedian you don't think they could host a game show, there's something wrong going on.
They're an abuser. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I could
see Brian Regan doing one, so I guess he's all right.
Oh, he's fine. All right. Yeah, he could totally do it. And he would make us all laugh super freaking hard, too. It'd be great. In fact, you know what? Get on that, whoever's in charge. Let's get Brian Regan behind a mic.
Get him on that whose line is it anyway, but what's my line?
Yeah, and make it a long microphone like the old school ones, like those skinny ones I used to have for game shows. Oh, I want one of those. I want one of those for podcasting. This freaking PR40.
I bought one of those for that I was going to use in Hurtacular, and it was just too – it would have required too much, like, all right, well, we've got to plug a wireless thing into here, and then I've actually got to have a regular microphone on the top of it, and it's probably still not going to pick me up.
See, that's no good.
No, it's not good.
You couldn't do that. Well, all right, here you go. Sorry, I was picturing you with a microphone.
It's time for Let's Talk About Meltdown.
That's right, Meltdown. High risk. There was another scene. I'm not going to say it was all that gross because it's fake, and I know that. But I don't know that wiping blood on your face from the wound of another man next to you is the way to go. I wouldn't do that.
Nah. Why did there was a lot of that kind of thing in this movie. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. At the first time, it was because the main guy wanted his stunt double to look exactly like him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, even then, why does he not flinch? I would have flinched. Yeah. That's right. Gross.
Oh, God, you're wiping your blood on my face, like, close to openings to my body.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's that. That's disgusting. If anyone did that in real life, first of all, you're poking at my wound, my big slash wound.
Right, get off my wound.
Yeah,
get off my wound hole.
Well, I mean, it's not blood, I guess. It is fake blood. It's not like
he
was really bleeding
hole.
And you just want to make it look real.
But. Yeah, but in real, imagine somebody did that in real life. You and I are in a foxhole. I got a big old gun blast to my shoulder, and you just start wiping my blood all over your face.
Because I want the enemy to think that I'm hurt, too.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if it meant your survival and we were trained to do that or something, but I don't think that's in the training.
No.
I could be wrong. Get your own blood is what I'd say. Cut your own finger and squirt it all over your face, not taking my blood.
At the same time, we're probably the very first people to ever notice the bird taped down, so maybe this is all kind of moot.
It's kind of a good point.
The director's listening to this show saying, Oh,
they saw it.
Can't believe they picked up on that. Jeez.
We're screwed. Quick.
We should have.
To the helicopter. Get Jet Li to fly it.
Yeah, no
kidding.
Oh,
it's a horrible idea.
Yeah, bad idea. Don't let him fly.
Wow, did that was like the worst rescue mission ever, with Jet Li flying his helicopter up to the level and then just murdering everybody on that level with the helicopter.
Yep. Yep.
Good guy, bad guy, didn't matter.
Yep.
There were 15 minutes going through that upper level of that building.
Yep.
There were so many mass murders in this movie. Can we stop a minute? You just blew up a bus full of kids. I'm going to have a hard time laughing for a minute. Yeah. Let's just slow down.
I got the feeling this director and these writers about that bus thing, I got the feeling they didn't have the kind of sensitivity to what that subject matter would actually mean. Like, if that really happened, a bunch of kids and their teachers blown up, or ate, I guess just her. And now that I know it was her wife and kid, it's even worse. But having that entire bus blown up at the end would have been the worst possible scenario. And you would be shocked forever. And then I'm supposed to go right into, Jackie Chan is not doing his own stunts, because I'm going to do it for him and jump off of the thing. Like, it didn't work for me. Right. That was rough.
Right. And then there's more massacres later. Like, it gets worse. And I just want to point out, Scott, you don't know that was actually Jet Li's wife and kid. The stupid fan fiction at the bottom of the screen made a claim that I am not accepting.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like the sub, just in my opinion, I feel like the sub is an actual translation from the original language. Mm. I think someone, and I don't know this is just speculation. It feels like it's true. It feels like somebody purchased this movie in the US to redistribute it, and said, let's get these voice actors in, because a lot of these voice actors are more recent voice actors. They've been around for a while. A lot of big names.
And yeah, I think your acting was done in the early 2000s. I noticed that because we, for some reason, I kept the credits going in case there was a stinger for, don't ask me why, but I noticed that the dubbing was done in 2000.
In 2000. After the release. 2000. Yeah. You're both right. According to a reviewer on IMDb who says that watching the original Cantonese movie version with English subtitles is acceptable, but then the dubbing, he says, bowdlerized the movie. That the dubbing, and he gives this example, this, and it's a really good one, where the first time you see the doctor with his gang, and he orders the killing of somebody for incompetence, like that, it's completely different. And I noticed that, like, it's a completely different story on the bottom of the screen. It actually makes sense. What you hear him saying, though, is really weak. It doesn't at all fit what, you know, the nature of that sequence.
Yeah, we missed, but we clearly missed the right version.
So what we're saying actually, if you haven't watched this film yet, folks, maybe turn the sound off and only read the subtitles to get the real movie.
I think you should watch it without the subtitles to enjoy it to its fullest comedic effect, because I think that's where the greatest comedy is.
Yeah.
But there is a second layer of comedy trying to listen to the sub, doing both at the same time. Your brain goes insane.
If you want the director's cut, watch it a second time with subtitles on. But I think you're right. Yeah. I think watching it the first time, so you can say, oh, that was never explained, or, oh, that was handled so poorly in the dubbed version.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. A commentary would be a blast with this. Oh my gosh. I need but that would be a dub of another dub, right? Like, that'd be another bunch of guys talking, and then it would be voiceover going, oh, this is a scene where I've, you know, picked my bum. Ha ha ha, bums are funny. Something like that. Hey, everybody, welcome to a quick break to talk about our friends at RX Bar, a whole food protein bar made with 100% whole ingredients and no BS, no added sugar, no colors that are artificial, no artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers. That's right, 100% whole ingredients. Few simple ingredients, by the way. Egg whites, for example, main source of its protein and easy for your body to absorb. They're gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, no added sugar, no colors, no fillers. I said all that. Great tasting with a variety of flavors. They come in 11 delicious flavor varieties. Whether you like the sweet and savory, chocolate, or fruit flavors, there's an RX bar for you. Real food ingredients actually taste like good, you know, food. So if you're looking for real fruit, the spices like sea salt, that kind of thing, that's where you're going to want to look, is RX Bar. How about breakfast on the go, snack at the office, throw it in your bag for the plane, toss it in your backpack for a bike ride or a hike, or how about right before or after your workout at the gym? Oh, it's so good. I've loved RX Bar, and so will you. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/filmsack. Use the promo code filmsack. That's rxbar.com/filmsack. And get it today. First order, 25% off. It's a good deal. Thanks, RX Bar. All right, I have clips to play that emulate much of what we're discussing here.
Fantastic.
I'm going to play them now. For example, here, I think this is the doctor, isn't it? Wait, I can't remember.
What's the meaning of this?
Let's go!
It's the teacher, sorry. It's a bad voice.
What's the meaning of this?
Ugh, gosh dang it.
Let go!
By the way, yeah. In that opening bus scene, and I think there was even a scene in the building with the mine that was on the carpet, couldn't you just like take your shoe, like keep your shoe firmly pressed on the mine, but then pull your foot out of your shoe and put something heavy on it to just keep it pressed down?
Totally.
So you're asking if you could Indiana Jones a landmine?
Yeah.
That kind of landmine, yes, because it was a pop up and explode in your face type, right?
And that's the thing. I don't know. I saw that sequence and I'm like, okay, for starters, I hate this because he doesn't clear the room of everybody except the two.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
But so then I was like, I paused the movie. I'm like, I'm going to look up some landmine types and figure out, like, reading about different kinds of anti-personnel mines, I'm pretty sure that kind, it just is going to explode. Like when you step on it,
you've just got a certain amount of time.
Right. It's going to pop up but like if you step on it and it doesn't get released in a few seconds, it's just going to explode, you know?
Yep.
Okay. It makes more sense for it to fly up. You could create a greater splash damage, right? However,
right. Pop-up mines are they're actually kind of common and it's really scary.
Yeah. I wouldn't want one. Ugh.
And what was interesting, I can't remember if it was in the sub or the dub, but one way had an American conspiracy that the Americans were aiding the terrorist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it kept implying that the hardware and equipment that was being supplied to him was American.
That's right. If you read the subtitles, you'll see all these references to America.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Really? So, right now, you guys are going to make me watch this again, aren't you? I swear.
It's worth it.
We have some time between now and the next film set.
Yeah, I guess so.
By the way, I just want to forestall the military genius who's writing an email. It's actually called a bounding mine.
Oh, the one that jump up mine, the pop
up.
Yeah,
it's a weird term, bounding.
Bounding mines. Bounding. Oh yeah, I guess I've seen that terminology in video. Like if you play some of that Tom Clancy stuff, they have bounding mines you can equip to yourself. Here's a, I don't know what this is, some deal.
He didn't have a chance.
Oh, that guy. I really like the video on him.
He didn't have a chance.
All right, here's him. Here's something about instant oatmeal.
We're instant oatmeal. Got that right.
You got that right.
Got that right. It's way more serious in the subtitles.
I'll bet it is. It would have to be. The stuff we heard was so dumb.
There's way so many things, guys. There's so many like serious statements, and so there's so much backstory that you don't get without the subtitles.
I won't mention it anymore.
I'm gonna watch it again.
No, it's fine. You brought me to this place. I'm gonna have to do it. Here's a pretty good line.
I think I'm gonna shit my pants.
That's a good one.
By the way, I have.
I'm just gonna keep that line. Don't worry about redoing it.
Right. By the way, I didn't realize what a great aversion I have to men in long johns.
Oh, I don't like it at all.
I don't know what it is, but I knew it bothered me, but I didn't realize how much it bothered me until this movie.
You know what? Here's why. I got an answer to this. And it's true in like Westerns where you always wake some cowboy up who's wearing his long johns. Yeah, it's always just a yellowy, pea-stained, nasty front, crumpy.
It's never right out of the bag at Hanes, right?
No,
it's never,
ever. No.
All right. We gotta get to the bottom of Scott's proclivities here, guys. Scott Johnson,
yeah.
What kind of men's underwear do you find the most acceptable if you're faced with seeing it? So I'm going to parade guys through your life.
Yeah. Easy
what
answer.
What kind of underwear do you want them wearing? They're not wearing anything else.
And easy answer. And this can be easier. It's boxers. Easy. No problem. Yeah, yeah. Just regular old baggy boxers. If you got those boxer tidy ones, those suck. Wearing whitey tidies, F off. If you're wearing regular boxers, it's great. It's great.
So you're okay, though, if it's like plaid polyester
boxers.
Oh,
yeah, totally, right. Man.
Well, the correct answer, by the way, the correct answer, obviously, is loincloth.
There you go. There you go.
So my, I'm guessing that if a man was wearing like a diaper, that's just the worst for you.
Oh no, diaper. Here's the order of bad. Diaper, I think, is the worst. Whitey tidies,
oh, really?
A stained up whitey tidy with a skid in the back. That's second bad. Third bad is the Long John's deal that me and Dunaway don't like. Yeah.
Wait, how did you feel about Kong's flossing thong he had?
I forgot about Kong. Yeah, I didn't like that either.
When he's doing the high kicks.
Yeah, I can't even watch like a proper sumo wrestling match.
Yeah, you're sufficiently bothered by sumo outfit, right?
Yeah, I hate it. It's gross.
It's gotta be.
Are you kidding me? They're flossing that giant butt that ate 14 pounds of wagyu steak. Like, forget it.
So how are you watching? How are you watching Goldbergs?
I love Goldbergs. Goldbergs.
Dad's always in his tighty.
Garland's always stripping down his tighty.
He's so freaking funny in that. I love him in it. I just want him. I want him to be my dad.
You're a bunch of morons.
I love him. That show is such a great little surprise. I freaking love it.
It really is.
Here's something about tongue out. I forget. Oh yeah, that.
Yeah. What do you call that gesture? Because she first was going to shoot him the bird, and then she went with the, I've heard people call it the dirty birdie, which is I don't think is right, but
dirty,
you know,
birdie?
It's that thumb to the nose.
Oh, that
flapping
yeah.
with the
right, like
with the
flapping the, has a ras like is a raspberry. What's this other
right.
thing called?
I don't know.
Right,
whatever it is, it what sucks, is, and they shouldn't
gesture.
Do it. Yeah, her doing this.
What am I, your dentist?
Whoop, that's not it. Sorry. This.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
There's something else. There's something else that the subtitle, and I really want to stop talking about the subtitles. But there's something else the subtitles reveal to you that I wonder if you, without the subtitles, picked up on, and that is. Everyone doing English voices is doing a weird voice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally got that. That was
okay. Am I your dentist?
Well, here, okay. let's hear that guy again. I put it down because of his voice.
What am I, your dentist? Come on, Joyce, be serious.
Be serious.
I actually liked this dubbing because.
Oh, I loved it, but I'm not supposed to.
It wasn't like your typical dubbing where they just have. I don't know, people who professionally dub movies. These were not professional dubbers. These are more like comedic voiceover actors.
Big time. They were all cartoon actors. They're all cartoon actors. Almost everybody credited with stuff that wasn't kind of extra style was some cartoon guy. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Probably cheap is my thinking in 95. Those guys got paid jack back then. Like, ask... Well, we were talking about Liam earlier. Ask Liam what it was like to work in anime in 1998. He'll frown at you hard. It wasn't a good time. How about this?
Yeah, I mean, you know that it's got to be difficult to take a serious action movie and just with dubbing turn it into a comedy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
completely agree. Here's some kind of what? Oh, anyway.
What is this anyway? Some kind of amateur production?
Yes, that's the answer. Yes,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's why it's funny.
Nailhead, meet each other. Here's something about your hand. Well, yeah, that guy lost his hand. I forgot.
Oh, that trope, man. Every little time.
Yep.
It's like if we're gonna have you fight near a light fixture, that light fixture is gonna go right through you. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
Oh yeah. Yep. Every time, sharp as hell. Here's everything will be fine.
We're only here for the jewels, so just sit tight, do as you're told, don't cause any problems, and we'll have you back to your cream cheese and caviar.
My gosh,
speaking of the jewels and tropes, there was a lot of groin attack in this movie.
Oh, yeah. So many groins and eyeball attacks, all of that stuff. Buttholes.
Yeah. Buttholes and groins. Plenty. Funny, two funniest things in Chinese culture, yeah. Especially colonial.
It actually felt like they were daring you to think of them as excessive. Like, oh, yeah, you think it's a trope when you punch someone in the nuts? We'll do it again. Now do you think it's a trope? Like, mm-hmm. That's what the movie felt like to me.
How about 5 minutes of a guy grabbing a guy's crotch? How about
yeah,
that?
How about that? That's a pretty good scene. When I was in China, I had an experience that I'll never forget. I was at a cable manufacturing plant, and they made mainly computer cables and that kind of stuff. And I was in there. May have been Foxconn way back then. I can't remember. Oh, wow. But anyway, it was something like that. And they were... bunch of executives standing around, people to own the thing. Some of them knew a little English or whatever. And in the middle of us sort of milling around waiting for a meeting to start, one of the high-level executives farted, put his hand behind himself as if to grab the fart, brought the cupped hand forward, and threw it in the face of his secretary.
Wow.
And then she laughed, and I thought, okay, this is it. This is the difference. This right here, what's going on, is the difference. Wow. Now, I don't want to apply that to an entire culture. That's not my job here. I'm not saying that. But all I know is, you know, when you hear about like, oh, Nissan's the CEO of Nissan riding to work on the train, reading a copy of Rape Man. Like, right, that kind of stuff is just there. Asia, you got it going on. Don't stop. Just be you.
Let's just always keep remembering we're looking at a 25-year-old movie. Like, yeah. Just don't,
yeah,
know,
it's
like,
old.
Don't let go of that. Like, yeah. This is not new.
22-year-old, but yes.
Okay.
Pretty close.
Close enough.
Why they call him Kong?
They call me Kong, eighth wonder of the world, and I'm gonna kick your ass.
Hey, man, you've got a great look.
Oh, it made me unplug my cable. Gosh, dang it! I laughed so hard I unplugged my headphones. I love that guy. Kong's great. All right, not in the face.
No, not the face.
I like that. For some reason, this is a good
slap. I didn't like the dubbing on that guy, and I didn't like his acting.
Yeah, not really, huh? I mean, listen, I can't deny what you're saying. It's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could I ever argue that? There's no way. Here's what? Not gonna what? All right, here it is.
I'm not gonna suck it out, but I'm your little sonny boy.
Oh, yeah. dear old Papa was actually I liked him. Come on, did you like him, Ibbot?
No.
With his pipe and his page boy hat. I love yes.
His page boy hat and his obvious wig.
Right.
Yeah, he other than this his he's like in an anime. He's like he's the little old dirty man.
Why do these movies always have this 30-year-old man with a gray wig instead of just hiring an older actor?
I don't know. I mean, he may have been a little older, but yeah, they dressed him up wrong. It was bad. Also, I just never bought their relationship. It was always like I don't like what my son is up to, yet here I am drinking a martini at his shitty party. Like, all right, well, go home then. Go home and watch TV, old man. here's a rude to flirt with your girl line.
It was rude of me to flirt with your girl.
Oh, that's literally it.
It was rude of your girl.
He was so good. Favorite villain maybe in film sack history.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Here's, what's this?
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, that. Everything people said I captured, I swear. I just thought it was so weird. Here's a doctor thing.
I'm the doctor's favorite, you dumb shit.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I like their relationship, the porn star and Kong.
Right.
That was fun.
Yeah, so her fighting with, I mean, they really, like, beat the crap out of each other to kind of lure not Jackie Chan out into the open.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I know.
They really did.
Not Jackie Chan.
Not Jackie Chan.
Here's something about eyeballs. I don't remember.
Holy you scum. It's Frankie time. Now, grab a hold of your legs. Lift them up to your head and start licking your eyeballs, you worthless turd.
Oh my gosh.
That was kind of weird. It was kind of funny, but kind of weird because Kong had been playing so straight-laced the whole movie. And then when he's asked to do this. No, when, was it Rabbit that did it?
Rabbit?
Which character was it?
Wait, who's Rabbit?
What? Whichever character it was that had been, it must have been Rabbit because he killed
him. Rabbit was with the sunglasses and the
He's the rapper from Detroit. That's the only rapper.
He's the rapper from Detroit. That's right. But he had been all straight laced the whole movie, and then during that scene, he acts just totally wonky.
Yeah, he got weird toward the end. And like all henchmen, I mean, he's basically the Amish guy from Die Hard. It just they just didn't do it as well. Kind of mysterious and dark, and then dumb ending. Here's here's just that piece that I loved.
Start licking your eyeballs, you worthless turd.
I'm gonna use that all the time. It's pretty
licking
good.
Licking your eyeballs.
Yep.
And then he sticks his tongue out and attempts to lick his eyeballs, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's really good.
By the way, even to continue the Die Hard connection, they had the black guy who's just there to like do the hacking, the computer hacking black guy.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. They didn't do much with him, but yeah, he was sitting in a chair and he'd walk up and put his arms on him. How are we looking? And he's like, we're looking at the detonators. And yeah, it was totally.
And you could tell when it was going.
Back is toast.
They did. The only thing they were missing was like the Huey Lewis looking guy for the front desk.
Right. Well, they even had that though. Get rid of the cops are coming. Oh, yeah. Get rid of them.
Yeah, that's true. It's so dumb. All right, here's old fashioned. I don't know what this is.
I'm old fashioned. Women should not handle guns.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, buddy. You are old fashioned. Get out of here. Here's another good one.
Hey, sugar, sweeten up. I saved your life.
That's pretty good. Hey, sugar, sweeten
up. I'm going to use that. Hey, sugar, sweeten up. I get a shirt with that
right now. Pretty good. Yeah, no one will be offended by that, Brian. It won't be considered at all misogynistic or weird. You should wear that shirt. I think you totally should. There's something about an old man.
Your old man's smarter than you are.
Okay, and then finally, when you're dying of poison.
Help me!
Again, it's when he says "help me" that he sounds the most like the junior boss from IT Crowd.
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does. And by the way, I meant to say this earlier, but I think the junior boss was never as good as the dad on
IT Crowd. Sure. Yeah, that's yes.
I love the dad. He was the best. When he jumped out that window, which makes a great gif.
It was a great didn't see it coming moment.
One
of
the greatest maybe ever. Like in ever TV ever him jumping out like that, but his son, it's not so good. Well, that's it for your clips. Well done everybody. Now it's time for this. Die Hard in Hong Kong, check. Jet Li just can't keep blood out of his eyes, check. That happened a lot. And finally, they even had a guy like the Coke guy in it from Die Hard, check. Hey, Star Trek connections. There is actually one. Fred Tatasciore. I can't say his name. He played Kong's voice. He voiced all of the Klingons in the 2013 Star Trek Into Darkness film, except for one. He voiced Kirk, Spock, and McCoy in several episodes of the television series Robot Chicken.
Chicken Robot,
yeah.
I can't wait to watch that.
He also provided the voice of over 250 video games, including several Blizzard titles.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, we got to find out who, but probably a lot of extras and stuff. Orc number 3, that sort of thing.
Ted
Tascori.
Tatasciore or something like that, right?
Yep, Tatasciore.
The guy is a super constant actor.
Oh, this guy. He's in StarCraft. I know this guy.
I want you to head out into the Barrens and pick me up several...
Wrong guy, but yes. It's a good point.
He voices Zeratul. He's the most constantly working voice actor in history. Like the guy, he must have an agent who always answers the phone at odd hours and is like, "Oh, Fred? Oh, Fred works 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, he'll do your thing."
Yeah, there it is. I love Zeratul's voice. Okay, he has all my respect. I love this man. He's the best. All right, well, there's that. Hey, soundtrack great. I give it a bleh for I don't know what the hell that was. That was just it was fine. Right. The rap actually kind of worked for me when it came on. Some of the rap was all right.
I mean, it's definitely a situation where, in addition to the dubbing, and maybe this is a common thing and I just don't know it, but I mean, they just completely wiped the Hong Kong soundtrack out of their own Foley work, out of their own music, and out of their own voices.
Yeah,
if you go back and watch the Cantonese, it is a totally different soundtrack. It's much more classical in nature.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Why would they even change that part? I don't know.
Oh, Scott, I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with his name. Fred Tatasciore.
Yeah.
This guy, he voiced in Wrath of the Lich King. He was Kola Garn and Hodir.
Oh, my Lord. I spent so much time fighting Hodir, I don't even want to think about it.
Hodir!
And Kolagarn, remember? With his huge fists?
Yeah, no, Kolagarn was great. He was the big fist guy with a beard. You walked in the room and he was just standing there.
Yeah.
And he was huge. That was a great fight. You know what? That guy's great. Well done. Yeah. I now have more respect for this movie than without you.
But he had nothing to do with the movie. I mean, like he was hired to do a voice later.
He was
like,
Kong. That was it. In fact, I want to play it. Where's Kong again? I wanted to play it one more time. I can't find it. I can't find where I put Kong. Okay, it's fine. Nobody knows where Kong went. Hey, Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less, because we're not saying 280 anymore because Randy said no. So I'm not. So let's sum it up in the old classic Twitter way we know how. Let's start with Randy.
Meltdown. Jet Li is Jackie Chan to an actor who's supposed to be the real fake Jackie Chan, but is really just Drunky Chan.
Oh, that's pretty good. Drunky Chan. Drunken Master Junkie Chan. For some reason, I saw Owen Wilson in my mind just then. Is it because they did that movie together? That's why. Shanghai Noon. Yeah, I forgot about those. Wow. All right. Brian Dunaway.
I confused those with the Chris Tucker, can you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Rush Hour. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you hear the word coming out of my mouth? I hate him. Anyway, Dunaway, your turn.
Meltdown. Like, high risk. But mostly it was like they probed me in a rectal fashion. Hashtag sub, not dub.
Well done. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Meltdown. Die slightly less hard.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Alternative titles. Oh my gosh, these just handed to me. I even have a thing for it. Look at that. Look at this. Die hardly.
Die hardly.
The other one was almost a porn star with a gun. All right. Well, that's a pretty good title there. Hey, we got an email from David in Chicago who says, hey, film hackers. After watching The Perfect Weapon with you guys and cracking up uncontrollably at the end, I realized that movie was for, movies of that quality should be what you watch together. And that's why we did it. It made it so much funnier and made these movies actually watchable since I wasn't actually listening to it and giving it my full attention. Also, I have a bone to pick with you guys, especially Ibbit, which he spelled it IBBITT. So there's that. How did no one give praise or at least address the fact that most of the songs, except for Search and Destroy, were by David Bowie or Bowie covers? I loved the gag, and it made me listen extra close every time a song was played. Thanks, David in Chicago. I think it's a David.
These Davids got to stick together.
Yeah, it's a David bias.
I guess I just didn't catch it.
The thing. Like, when it comes to things like Bowie, the Beatles, they're so commonplace that sometimes you don't actually think to yourself, oh, wow, I've just heard three Beatles songs. They just, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you just...
No, but I mean, you know, Life Aquatic, I know every song on there, Say Who George, Beatles covers, bought both albums, but...
Sure, but that's the point,
that's
right?
That's noticeable. It's very prominent and in your face, but... Yeah.
Not so much
with Perfect Weapon.
This is true. If you want to hear that episode, go back and check it out. You can find it over there at filmsack.com. Now, what the hell's going on with our next thing? We don't know. We got all kinds of travel happening, so we don't know what's happening, do we? We don't know.
We're probably just going dark forever.
Yeah, we're never going to do another episode again.
Hashtag pod fading.
Hope last you one. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hope Meltdown. I hope you enjoy Meltdown as the last one we do.
here's the thing, guys. We're going to be back in a couple weeks. We're going to watch The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Seriously, the remake? Do you call it a remake when
you
it's
call it a modern re-envisioning
reboot? Well, Diego.
Yeah, because it's not just a straight remake. Like we're trying to be true to the feel of the original. It's like we're trying to kind of make fun of the original.
Plus,
right?
It's a movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Plus, it's a movie, and you can't really reboot it unless it's also a movie. So in this case, a movie about a TV show. It's an adaptation. It's like a
adaptation's good because I mean they don't go halfway through the movie and then switch everybody out for Coy and Vance or nothing. I mean,
no, hell no. If they did that, I'd love it.
That would be funny
though. That'd be great.
And I'm just gonna put this out there. Like you might have feelings about Johnny Knoxville, Sean William Scott, obviously Jessica Simpson. I mean, even Burt Reynolds. You might go, that's not really a good actor. The Dukes of Hazzard movie from 2005 was directed by Jay Chandrasekhar, and that guy is always good. Yeah. Everything he does is funny. So,
all right,
give us a chance, guys.
I like Johnny. I happen to like Johnny Knoxville a lot. I also am just fine with the other dude, Stifler. I think he's great. Yep. Yeah, and I like.
Yeah, I do like him.
I don't really know much about Jessica Simpson because I've never seen anything with her in it. But here, he'll be my chance. And I don't know.
Yeah, I just know the chicken to the sea thing. That's all I know about Jessica Simpson.
Who's Boss Hogg? Who's that in this? Do we know who the actor
is?
Oh, in
this one? Yeah. Oh, Burt Reynolds, yeah.
Oh, Burt Reynolds is Boss Hogg?
Okay. Yes.
All right. I like Burt Reynolds. So is he all Vaselined up in a pair of boots?
Is he greased up like he was in Stranger
Things? Damn it. I'm going to find a way when we actually watch the movie to get you guys to talk about Jay Chandrasekhar, but we'll get to it.
All right. Well, that name will be memorable. I'm sure we'll have no trouble coming back to John Chandrasekhar. All right. Well, that's gonna be a couple of weeks. Wish us luck as travel happens and people are busy. It's a crazy February, but we'll be back with you guys very soon. Filmsack.com is the website. You can find us via the web at Filmsack on Twitter. And if you'd like to leave us an email, you can, filmsack@gmail.com. And while you're at it, leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.